of you look at your life and you look at your past and you say, how could God allow me to go through all that struggle? Where was He when I was in the middle of an abusive marriage?
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Job. I'm excited to introduce this new series entitled Experiencing God. This series was inspired by Henry Blackaby's best-selling book by that same title. And we're not going through exactly Henry Blackaby's studies, but we are following down the same train of direction. And here's what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of days. God is always at work in your life. Yeah, even before you were born, God was working to create a destiny and a future for you. Before you're a twinkle in your father's eye, God already loved you and knew you. And God is always asking us to join Him and cooperate with what He's doing, which means that we have to lay aside or leave some of our plans and join God's plan. Typically, that invitation leads us to a crisis of faith, where we have to ask, God, who am I? Who are you? And can I trust your plan? And sometimes we come up with excuses, trying to overcome those excuses, and we have to begin to adjust our life to cooperate with God and begin to see God's work in our life. So if you're at a crossroads in your life right now, where you're kind of throwing up your arms into the air saying, God, I'm not really sure what you're doing. I'm not really sure what your plan is for my life. I'm not sure why these things are happening to me. I can't really make sense of it. Then you really need to listen to this series, because I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your life powerfully and in a life-changing way as you hear the principles that are taught in this series, Experiencing God. Many of us live our lives not aware that God has been involved in our story even before we knew about God. Many of you don't realize this. I run into some people that say, well, Pastor, I just started coming to church and I just found God, or God just found me. And I want to say, no, wrong. You see, God has been involved in your life since the beginning. There's never a time in your life where God has not been involved. You may have discovered God, but God has always discovered you. Since when you were born, God was present. God has been involved in the fabric of your story. He's been involved in the mechanics of your journey since the day that you were born. When you were conceived and your mother was you were in the womb of your mother and you were developing, God was there. In fact, God was there before you were conceived, when you were a sparkle in your father's eye. God was there before your father even had a sparkle in his eye. God was there when your father was a teenager, when he was in junior high, when he was born. God was involved in his story, and your grandparent and grandmother's story, and your great-great-grandparent's story, and your great-great-great-grandparent's story. And God has been involved in your journey, in your life, for generations. He's been orchestrating the pieces of your life. He already knew way in advance where you would be and how you would be. And God has loved you with a passionate, deliberate love. And so as we talk about experiencing God, we're talking about realizing that God is at work. And then once we realize that God is at work, starting to discover what God is at work doing. And once we discover what God is at work doing, rolling up our sleeves and saying, God, I want to join you in the work that you're doing, because life is not about me. Life is about something that's bigger than me. That's a huge discovery, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever seen a sign as you're driving down the expressway, and there's a orange sign that says men at work, or it has a symbol of men working. Anybody see these signs before? Men working. Now, when I'm driving down the road and I see a sign that says men at work or construction, I look to see, first of all, if I see anybody, because obviously I don't want to hit anybody in an orange jacket. I slow down because it's a construction zone and because I can get fined if I keep speeding. So I slow down and I look for the men that are working, or the men and women that are working.
and I look to see what they're doing. Now, I can't always distinguish what they're doing, and I don't always see people at work, but I know there is a construction job that's happening. Now, if I were to be able to give you a sign this morning, it would be a construction sign in orange, large, that says, "Caution, God at work." Because what I want you to do is I want you to slow down in life right now, and I want you to realize that God is working. That God is doing, even right now as I speak, that God is doing something in your life. You may not know exactly what God is doing. You may not be able to perceive the plans of God, but I want to guarantee you that God is doing something in your life, that God is at work behind the scenes. And so I want to help you discover that God is at work and figure out how to join them. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. It's the second book in the Bible. You have the book of Genesis, which means beginning. You have the book of Exodus, which means exiting. They're all a part of the five first books of the Bible, which are called the Pentateuch. Pent means five, and so they're part of the Pentateuch. All five books of the Bible were written, these five books were written by Moses. And Moses is the central figure of the drama that we're going to follow over the next several weeks. Now, before I read this passage, I feel like I need to say this to you. This week I've been thinking a lot about this. I want you to fully understand and comprehend that the mission that you and I are called to is not a mission within the four walls of this church. That when we come to church here on Sunday morning, this is not where all the ministry happens. This is not where the life of the church is really at. You come to church on Sunday morning or come to home group, this is a place where you are inspired, where you're pumped up with biblical knowledge, where you're given principles, where your faith is encouraged, where you worship God so that you are ready to do your real calling, and your real calling is outside the four walls of this church. Your real mission, your real calling in life is your workplace. Is the neighborhood that you live in? Is the school that you're studying in? Is the house that you're trying to get ready and build? That's your real place. You know, the Bible says that we're the salt and light of the world, right? I don't know if you've ever gone into a restaurant and someone plays one of those little tricks and leaves the top of the salt unscrewed. Has that ever happened to you? Somebody's saying, yeah, I'm the one that did it. Yeah, okay, I got your number. And you take one of these salt, and you want to put just a little bit of salt on your food, and suddenly when you pour it over, the whole thing spills out. Now, my wife accuses me of salting my food without even tasting it. And I do. I look at my food, I think, it needs salt. I don't taste it. I just like salt on my food. It just brings out the flavor. I just like it. But if it's too much salt, it becomes bitter tasting. It overwhelms the senses. And it's happened to me at times, too much salt's poured out. Then I don't want the food. I have to scrape it out because salt on salt burns things. Salt and salt turns bitter. I want you to hear me well. When the church does not discover that its real mission is outside the four walls of a church building, then there's too much salt in one building. If all we think of is that the church and our life and our mission is within these four walls, then we're pouring salt and salt and salt and salt, and we bicker and fight about this or get entangled in this, when in reality, the salt that God has called us to, the place that God has called us to, is outside of these four walls. Amen? I want you to understand that you're missionaries carrying the presence of God. I want you to understand that God has called you. God has a purpose and a plan for your work, your sphere of influence. He's got a purpose and a plan for the factory that you work at, for the downtown office that you work at, for the business that you're in. God has called you and placed you in that place to be salt and light. He's called you with a mission, with a purpose, and God wants you to roll up your sleeves and join Him, cooperate with Him in fulfilling the mission He's called you to in life. Through this series, as we talk about experiencing God, I want you to awaken to the reality that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, that He wants you to join in Him. So Exodus chapter 1, let me begin reading the first verses. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family." Now, if you remember the story of Abraham, Abraham was a man that God called and said, "I want you to follow me because I have a purpose and a plan for your life." He chose Abraham. Abraham could not have any children. Him and Sarah, God miraculously worked in their life, and they had a son of promise named Isaac. Isaac then, as he grew up, also married, and Isaac had Esau and Jacob. Jacob, as he grew up, also went out on his own, and Jacob had 12 sons. Now the tribe is growing now. Jacob had 12 sons, one of which was Joseph, who ended up in Egypt. Towards the end of his life, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, ended up gravitating because of a famine from where he was living to Egypt. In totality, there were 70 people in his family that went from where they were living to establish themselves in Egypt. Now, Exodus tells us the name of the 12 sons. It was Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, and of course Joseph. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt. Verse 6. Now Joseph and all of his brothers and that generation died, but the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous so that the land was filled with them. Now I want to stop and give you the first principle. I'm talking about God at work. I want you to understand this about God at work. God's working involves your past and present circumstances. God has been at work through your past and in your present circumstances. And you need to open up your eyes and see that God is working in those. Now, here's the question. Why did Moses tell us, go back and tell us all the way about Jacob and Joseph? Because what Moses is telling us is that God was already setting up the circumstances. In fact, from Abraham all the way to when Moses was born was about 550 years. 550 years. Yet Moses is talking about Joseph and Jacob and how they came. He's telling us the history. He's telling us that God was involved in his story way before he was born. In Acts chapter 17, it tells us that God determines the times and the places where people should live. Some of you here right now, you're not aware of it. When you were in your rebellious years as a teenager out in the streets doing your thing, you weren't aware of it, but God was there. When you were in your party lifestyle and doing your thing and didn't want anything, you were out there clubbing and you wouldn't be in a church caught dead. You were doing your thing. You thought you had left the church thing behind. That's for old ladies and little kids. And you were out there living your life and making a lot of mistakes. Here's the thing. God was there even though you didn't acknowledge Him.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, God is Always Working. It's from our series called Experiencing God. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Exodus chapter 1. His message, God is always working.
When you got married and started your own life and started climbing the ladder of success and climbing up that ladder and doing all your things, and it was all about you and accumulating material things and buying your first house and getting the mortgage and doing all that, you may not be aware of it, but you see, God was there the entire time. He was active. He was there. He didn't just pop into your life later. God has been there the whole time. You see, this is a revelation that hit me a couple years ago, because sometimes we act like we bring God to the place, But the thing is, God has been there way before we got to the place. I grew up in Spain. If you read the annals of history, it'll say that there were three ships that were sent out of the coast of Spain that arrived in the Americas, and our Western history books say that the Spanish fleets led by Christopher Columbus, who was not a Spaniard but an Italian, that they actually discovered the Americas. And the colonialist, imperialistic mentality is that they arrived on the shores, planted a flag with a little cross in it, and declared, these are the lands of the kingdom of Spain, and we have finally brought God to this pagan nation. But I want to tell you something. God didn't arrive with Christopher Columbus and the Santa Maria ship. God was already in the Americas. In fact, God was already working way before the Western world discovered, because God is always omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is sovereign. God doesn't come with us. God has been there way before us. We don't bring God on our shoulders. God exists. He's active. He's working. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is this: where is God working? How is God working? And how can I cooperate with what God is already doing in this place? You see, as I look around Chicago area, I believe that God has been at work in Chicago for years and years and years and years. I believe that God has been working in different places, in different churches, in different ways, through different people for a long time. And when we arrive at a place, we have to ask ourselves, what has God been doing in this place? How has God been working in this place? And when I discover what God has been doing, and when I acknowledge and identify how God has been working, then I roll up my sleeves and say, God, let me jump in and help with what you're already doing, because you've been here way before we ever arrived on the scene. 3 weeks ago, we had the grand opening of our 10th campus in the Lincoln Park neighborhood. That building, that church building, had been on the corner of Lille and Seminary, get this, since 1883. That's 125 years. Amazing that 125 years ago, there was a group of people that got together, driven by the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that said, let's build a building here on the corner of Seminary and Lille so that we can worship together and proclaim the gospel and reach out to this community and this neighborhood. Why? Because 125 years ago, God was at work already. Some of you came to God and discovered God and opened up your eyes. And then you go to your family and you start looking around at your extended family and your friends, and you start realizing that God has already been at work in your family and your friends. Suddenly you discover a cousin that's also a born again. You always thought they were a little weird. You know, they weren't down in it at the family parties. They weren't in the middle of the gossip and fighting. And you're like, eh. Little weird. They're involved in some religious freaky thing, I don't know. And then you finally discover, hey, they're not that weird after all. They're just a follower of Jesus. And then you start discovering that a friend that you had grown up in high school, that he actually attends a church and he's in a Bible study, and you discover, hey, God's been at work. And you open up your eyes and you realize, my cousin and my friend and my aunt and my uncle, and suddenly it's like they're everywhere. These Christians. And they're like popping up all over the place. Why? Hey, God is at work. Sometimes you haven't realized it because your mind is focused on one thing and you don't realize what God is doing. But when you begin to open up your eyes, you realize that God and the message of the gospel has infiltrated every segment of society, every family, every strata, from government to waiting on tables, from commerce to international affairs, that God is working all over the world because God has been at work for a long time, we need to open up our eyes and see that God is at work. And we also need to open up our eyes and see that God has been at work in our life. Can you see that? Some of you never realized it. It was Kierkegaard who said that we live life looking forward, but we understand life looking backwards. And then we see it was the hand of God. You see, God led me here. God made me run into that person. God led me to that individual who led me over here, who talked to me about God. We heard it in the testimonies this morning, the baptism, about people that ran into people at work and people who ran into a cousin or a friend that started talking to them. Why? Because God is at work. God is everywhere. God has a purpose and a plan. And you are part of that purpose and plan. The second thing that I want you to understand about how God works and the working of God, I want you to comprehend and grasp and understand that God is always working because of and in spite of painful circumstances. You see, we have this idea sometimes that if God is involved in our life and if God is part of our story, that there will be no pain, there'll be no suffering, there'll be no heartache, that everything will be good. As the teenagers would say, nah. You see, you're not a 15-year-old kid that comes and says, I'm going to give my life to Christ, come to this altar, cry, give your life to Christ, get up, then go look at yourself in the mirror and expect that all your pimples are gone off your face. It doesn't work that way. Some of you expect that your marriage has been a tough marriage and that you've wrestled through your marriage things, that you're going to come give your life to Christ and suddenly you're going to get up, go back home, and your husband, who's been pretty much a jerk for several years, is going to greet you with flowers and roses and a nice card and tell you how much he loves you, and suddenly he's totally changed around. Why? Because you gave your life to Jesus. It doesn't work that way. In fact, you want to know the reality of it? The reality of it is that God works through your painful circumstances and struggles and trials and difficulty. God is not always the author of them, but God works through them. Recently I heard that, you know, a little baby chick that's in an egg, a little baby chick has to struggle through the process of birth. And when a chick is inside of that egg, what it does, it starts pecking at the egg from the inside out, and we say that it's hatching. In reality, what's happening is that little bird is beginning to grow big enough to break out of that egg, and it starts pecking away. And in the beginning, it's too weak to make too much of a difference on the eggshell. But with time, it starts pecking and pecking and pecking, and it grows stronger, and it grows, its muscles develop more. Why? Because of the struggle of pecking. And it stretches and it pecks and it hits and it pecks, and finally it breaks the shell, and he keeps pecking and keeps hitting, and finally it's able to break out of the eggshell, and that's part of the process that makes that little chick healthy. Now, if some little well-meaning girl would say, oh, I don't want my little chickie to struggle, I'm just going to break the eggshell open for them, then I'm told that oftentimes those little chicks will die because they have not gone through the process of strengthening their muscles, of struggling. It's the struggle that forms them. It's the struggle that matures them. It's the struggle that strengthens them. Are you tracking with me? Some of you look at your life and you look at your past and you say, how could God allow me to go through all that struggle and that pain and that difficulty? I mean, if God was part of my story, where was he when I was in the middle of an abusive marriage? Where was he when I was in struggling, my father was abandoning me? Why, if God is part of my story, why didn't he heal everything? Why didn't he make things well? Let me tell you this, God is never the author of evil, the Bible tells us in James. Never. There is no evil thing that God has ever brought to your life. Now, we live in a fallen world and evil things happen, but God is not the author. However, God is able to take the most tragic of circumstances, and God is able to allow you to grow through them and be changed by them and altered by them for your good and for His purposes. Are you tracking it?
This has been the first half of Pastor Mark's message called God is Always Working, which is from our new series called Experiencing God. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.